Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today. Hey, you know it's Taz and Moose.
You know it's Taz and Moose. Hey. We're coming to you live from the Quicken Loans Studios. National Mortgage Lender, Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully. Make sure to go out there and mortgage confidently. A lot of college football chatter here on this Wednesday morning. Let's welcome aboard right now former coach, and that is Houston Nutt, CBS Sports college football analyst. Good morning, Houston. How are you, bud?
Hey, doing good. Good morning.
Thanks for taking the time. We certainly appreciate it.
Yes,
and,
yes.
You know, it should be a good, interesting weekend. We got a scenario to play out before we get to some of the games that Taz and I have been a good conversation, good reaction. You know, you look at it, you know, the SEC championship game is set. It's Georgia and it's Alabama, right? If Clemson should finish the year undefeated and win the ACC title game, Notre Dame beats Syracuse on Saturday, finishes the year undefeated, and Michigan should win out and win the Big Ten title game, and then you have Georgia beats Alabama in the SEC title game. How would the committee handle that?
That's the one. That's the big scenario right there.
There you go.
It's going to come down to Alabama and that number four spot. I guess it would be Michigan, and a lot of discussion right there. And I can't see them taking Alabama and throwing them out. And that's what makes it tough. That's what makes this thing crazy and fun. And it's, you never know what can happen. But I don't see how the way Alabama's playing, especially with a healthy Tua Tagovailoa, I just don't see them moving them all the way out.
Yeah, I agree with that. But we were going back and forth here. We had a lot of people, coach, call the show about it. Moose just mentioned that Syracuse, Notre Dame, so that's happening this week at Yankee Stadium, as you know. What kind of chance you give Syracuse, man? They look like a pretty good squad, I mean, against this Notre Dame team. Can they give them give them a little scare? Can they get a victory here to the Orange?
You know, I think they can. You know, this game is you never know. You don't have to be better than them 3 weeks or 4 weeks. It's just for those 60 minutes. And Syracuse, as you know, it seems like they always put together once or twice a year where they're hitting on all cylinders. And, you know, they could do it. But ever since Ian Book has been inserted in the game, you know, Notre Dame has gotten better, especially offensively.
Right.
And I'm real curious to see, but I think to answer your question, I think Syracuse can put a scare on them. No question.
Yep, I agree.
Yeah, yeah, and the job that Dino Babers has done for the Orange, and coach, I mean, you know this better than anybody. You know, living that life and coaching is, you know, step into a program, a once story program that kind of fell on very, very hard times. You know, under Pasqualoni, even before that, I mean, they were a perennial top 25 program. And really consistent, really good, regardless of conference, and to rebuild that, I mean that is a lot. That doesn't just show you know just how good of a coach he is, but to be a program builder in a spot in which it just became a college basketball school because of the hard times the football program fell on, that just even emphasizes just how remarkable of a job Babers and his staff have done.
Well, you're exactly right. You know, it's not easy. You just can't snap your fingers and say, okay, we're going to have us a football program and start competing. You know, it's a lot of work. It's of course, it always starts with recruiting. Recruiting the right guys, doing a really good job of evaluation. And then you get those young men to campus and you're laying down this blueprint and this roadmap that you want everybody to follow. And it's not easy. It's not easy getting everybody, the 18, 19, 20-year-olds all in one line and everybody going in one direction, not easy. But Coach Babers has done an excellent job of recruiting, getting guys to believe. And, man, there's nothing like those locker room scenes, especially those celebrated locker room scenes where you see those guys hooting and hollering. Man, that's what it's all
about. Yeah, that seems like a lot of fun. Hey, Coach, so we were talking earlier also about UCF. You know, I want to ask you a two-part question. A, do you think they're ranked appropriately at 11, being that they're 9-0, you know? And also, what do you think? I mean, we were talking, man, this might be where they lose. They're playing Cincinnati, who's legit at 9-1. This could be the week that they lose. So talk a little bit on UCF, if you don't mind.
Central Florida, you know, has done an outstanding job. You go all the way back when they played Auburn, beat them in a bowl game, and they just keep winning. And they've done a great job, again, with getting the right athletes, starting with McKenzie Milton at quarterback. He can make it happen.
Yep.
So got to give Central Florida a lot of credit. The problem is it's going to be hard for them to always to get to that last, the final four, the college playoff, to make it all the way in. It's going to be hard. Have to have a lot of things to happen. But you're right. Better watch out this weekend. Cincinnati's a very physical, very tough team, very capable of winning the game. And so everybody's got to be on point for Central Florida. You got to be ready to go because, of course, everybody's coming after them. And there's some competitive teams in that league, and it starts this Saturday for Central Florida, no question.
Yeah, but it's you look at what they've done with the change of coach, undefeated last year under Frost. Heupel steps in. The consistency and the guys that they lost that either graduated or went on to the National Football League, coach, it just shows you. Now, they have not been as dominant. They've had some tight victories this year, and they could lose to Cincinnati this weekend. But to be up until this stage, a week away from Thanksgiving and be undefeated, it's a great accomplishment.
You got to give it to them, no question about it. And you mentioned they've lost some guys on defense especially. But the one person that didn't graduate is Mackenzie Milton.
Yep.
And to me, he's a coach on the field. Gets him out of the wrong play, gets him in the right play, very accurate, a winner. Fell behind, last week or a couple weeks ago, and just doesn't flinch. And so you're right. Got to give him a lot of credit, and they're a fun team to watch. But again, they know they got to buckle up both chin straps and get ready to go this weekend.
Mm. Coach, so all right, so we're looking right at the top four here, right? So as we all know, right, Alabama, Clemson, Notre Dame, Michigan. So what happens? Let's fast forward, man. What's the deal? Give us a forecast, 2-3 weeks, 4 weeks down the road. I mean, what's going to change, if anything? Is it boring right now? Is it not? We're kind of sitting in neutral. I want to be in drive. I want to go down a road, bro. I want to break the speed limit a little bit.
Well, I want to tell you just stay tuned now, because if you watch, there'll be something happen here these next 2 weekends that we think everything's just nice and you're in neutral, and all of a sudden this thing's going to be stuck hitting reverse with your foot on the pedal. Man, and so Alabama, I just feel like right now there's a little bit of a separation when you watch them, especially now if Tua's getting a little bit beat up. So I got my eye on that one. Georgia's a very athletic team, and they do a good job with the running backs and all those things. But I just don't think they have enough to beat Alabama in a championship game. So I think Alabama and Clemson are going to hold tight. The next two, let's watch real closely. Notre Dame, you just brought it up earlier. Notre Dame, Syracuse, let's watch what happens there. Let's watch what happens now. Michigan still has to play Ohio State. I keep kind of having one eye on Ohio State because we know they're athletic. We know they're talented. Can they put it all together and beat Michigan? So I still think there's a lot of ball out there left, guys. So, hey, let's just hold tight. I know we're in neutral, kind of boring, but it won't be. You watch.
Alabama and their dominance certainly has hurt it, coach. You know that. I mean, and just the perception that it's just, and that the perception's the reality. It's them, and then it's everybody else. Mm-hmm. But, coach, if I were to ask you right now, and we've got some time to go, but just eyeball test, watching all these games each and every week, your top four teams in the country are whom?
Alabama, Clemson, Michigan, and I'll probably go with Notre Dame right now, but again, I still got my eye on. If you go all the way to 10, I still got my eye on Ohio State. You got a Big 12. You got two Big 12 teams with Kyler Murray and Will Greer that can score. I worry about their defense. Don't know what can happen. And of course, a guy like Gardner Minshew of Washington State, he's been unbelievable, leading the world in passing, 390 something yards a game, and their defense has gotten better. So there's some outside guys looking in, but to me, I'm going to stay with the four they have right now, and just anxious to see what happens these next 2 weeks.
Coach, I got a question, a coaching question more or less, how you deal with players. As we know, right, Alabama, right, they're 52-point favorite this week. They're playing at home. They're hosting the Citadel, right? So, all right, so, we've heard Saban, the deal, right? Nick Saban said he's going to start, Tua, and he's got the banged-up wheel. We know that. What do you do as a guy who coached on the D1 level with your success? If you agree with Saban, just explain that. Like, why would he do something like that against a team where you're gonna roll them?
Well, you're always trying to stay sharp. You're trying to stay, the continuity, the chemistry. You're trying to always keep it right. You're trying to get better each and every week. Now, saying all that, I'm not there at practice, but if you and I were at practice and we're watching him go through individual drill. We go through periods, and we see him limping around. To me, if he's not full speed, look, hey, come over here on the sideline. We're gonna let our defense, we're gonna let our special teams, and we're gonna let Mac Jones, we're gonna let him handle it since Jalen Hurts is he can't play right now. We're gonna let him handle this game, and you get ready. But again, you know, we're not there, so I don't know.
Right,
he may
right.
be ready to go by Saturday, and if he's full speed and he's healthy, great. But if he is nicked up just a little bit and you want to start him, you can bet this. They won't run him very much, that's for sure.
Mm.
They'll get the ball out of his hands. They'll let him hand it off. They just want to keep everything going because you're always trying to reach what? You're trying to always hit that peak of getting better each and every week. They remember in November, championship week is coming.
Yeah.
Playoff is coming. You want to be at a high level.
We're talking to Houston Nutt, CBS Sports college football analyst, former coach. Let's look at Louisville here, coach, for a second. Their decision to get rid of Bobby Petrino. What about that Louisville program on the whole? Everything that transpired with Petrino and basketball, now you look at their football program here, coach. Where do you think Louisville goes? They went with a familiar name, and we know how good in the past Charlie Strong was out at Louisville, building them up, how great they were under when Teddy Bridgewater was their quarterback. Where do you think Louisville goes for the next head coach?
That's a great question. You know, the one thing you mentioned I think is so true. When you look at Louisville in the past, you mentioned Charlie Strong, Teddy Bridgewater. There was the recruiting was very, very good. They were competing at a high level. You could tell the last few years recruiting has gone down. They're slower. They're missing some pieces. And so, you know, your first instinct is, do we get Charlie Strong? Do we bring him back? I don't know if he wants to leave. He may be real happy in South Florida, doing a good job down there. So I don't know. But, that's you know, your first thought is that the guys that are familiar with recruiting, and if you look at the programs that are not successful right now, it always starts the lifeline of the recruiting, number
the players.
One.
Players, yeah.
And you got to have, you got to have people that understand the area, how to recruit that school, and it's just so important.
Yeah, and it's ultra-competitive, no matter what sport it is, not just football, you know, getting the better athletes out of high school, you know. Hey, Coach, what about, the kid that a lot of folks are high on, I think he's great, too, is the Clemson QB, the freshman Lawrence. I mean, break him down, man. What makes him so special? He seems like he's going to have a really super, super bright future here with the Tigers.
Yeah, you know, he stands at 6'6". The thing that this, to me, that this, when you watch him, that shoots off the screen is, the way the ball comes off his fingertips, and I'm talking about a quick release with RPMs. This ball is spinning, and he's accurate. And you can tell he's gaining more confidence, getting much more confident in the system. And we all knew that he could throw all the route. He can throw the post, the intermediate, the comebacks, quick game. He can make every throw. So that makes him special, and especially if he's that accurate. So he's only going to get better. That height, that arm, and the supporting cast of Travis Etienne, and, of course, that defensive front now.
Oh,
that's the one front to me that can compete with Alabama is the defensive front of Clemson. So you add Trevor Lawrence to the equation, man, and that's a dynamite package now.
You know, Coach, to the Big 12 and Oklahoma and how good they are offensively, they're not particularly good defensively. Do you think the characteristic trait of that conference, of being a great offensive conference, lack of defense for the most part, do you think that's a character flaw for that conference and what Big 12 football is about?
Well, I do. I'm a little bit partial because, you know, I ended up after Arkansas, I transferred to Oklahoma State and played in the Big 8, and I remember defenses that were phenomenal. And then I'll go even further. When I was at Arkansas, we played Bobby Stoops in the Cotton Bowl one year, Roy Williams at safety, and these defensive linemen were phenomenal. On the score ended up 10-3, old school score. But my point is, defense was definitely played from Barry Switzer to Bobby Stoops. It was there. I mean, unbelievable athleticism, toughness, getting off blocks, physicality. You don't see that. You know, when you watch Oklahoma and Oklahoma State, and I love watching guys go up and down the field, I do. But there comes a time where you think, I'm ready to see somebody hit somebody and tackle, and you don't see that, you know, when it's going back and forth right now. So to answer your question, you know, I do think it hurts their conference a little bit when you see a lot of offense, but yet when you stack them up against Michigan, Alabama, Clemson, you feel like you know what the outcome would be.
Well, right, and that. But how does that change, though, Coach? Because it's not just 1 year here. We're looking at a, good 7-8 year run where there's been a downturn in Big 12 defense.
Yeah, well, that's a great question, and to me, it goes back to what we're talking about. You know, you got to recruit your way out of it. You got to go back and sign those guys that can go chase that ball and arrive in a bad mood. And you know, we've seen it before. But as you said, it's interesting. You're on a run of about 6-7 seasons where you feel like, man, we know the Big 12 can play offense. We've seen that.
Right.
Field, but when are we going to see them, you know, tackle consistently?
Well, it's interesting because, you know, you mentioned Oklahoma State, right, and Mike Gundy, and they're a great offensive team. But, you know, when you were just answering that question, Coach, I think of the story. What was it, 3 off seasons ago? He went in the offseason and said, find me the best offense in America. And they found the best offense in America, right? A guy that was coaching at a small school went there, offered him the OC job, about $300,000, $350,000 a year. But it's all about offense. He's not going out there trying to find the best defensive mind in America. He's looking to try and get his offense just that much better. You know, and I just don't think there's – you mentioned the players. There's certainly enough talent on the teams to play a lick of defense. It doesn't seem like the coaches really care about emphasizing defense.
Yeah. You know, not in those meeting rooms, and I see what you see. And you just feel like there's going to be – you'd think there'd be a meeting where you say, look, I'll tell you what, we're going to flip this thing. We're going to start playing defense, or – we are going to get the best coaches on defense, and there's been some good coaches on defense come through there, but they're just at a time now. It's just like they're at this rocket speed of just up and down the field, and it's just hard to explain. You know, when you see these many points that are being scored, and not it doesn't seem like there's as much emphasis on the defensive side, but surely I just got to believe the coaches, Coach Gundy and Coach Riley with Ruffin McNeil. I just got to believe that. There are some defense being talked about. There's no doubt in my
mind. Hey, Coach, it's like the old school WAC conference. Remember that?
I do.
You know.
And Gundy's got the best head of hair in America.
Yeah, what's the deal with that hair? Oh, my God.
We should all be so lucky to have Mike Gundy's hair.
He's got some head.
Coach, to Alabama, have you seen, when you look at it's them and everybody else, and they're the best team in America, the separation that they've created – because, you know, it's real and it's tangible as long as Tua is on the field. Is this the greatest disparity you've seen for any Saban-led Alabama team?
I think so because of this. You know, how many in the years past, what do we always talk about, Coach Saban? Well, it starts with defense. And, you know, he lost a lot of first-rounders. And you notice that we didn't talk much about defense because their offense was so off the charts. We couldn't believe what we were seeing, how fast Nick Saban was playing offensively, and then all of a sudden, LSU at night, and remember now that LSU team scored some points on a good Georgia team and beat them very soundly.
Yeah.
So we're thinking about a good, tough game, but it doesn't happen because of what? The defense of Alabama. So to answer your question, no one can say this word better than Nick Saban, and this word is next. He can say next because of his death. You know, when somebody gets hurt, next.
Yeah.
You know, I don't care if it's a secondary person. I don't care if it's a linebacker, a defensive tackle, a receiver.
Yeah.
And he says next. And so he's recruiting at such a high level.
He's got some depth,
and,
man.
And this recruiting is a balancing act, guys. You got to have the right number of O linemen, the right number of defensive linemen, the right number of secondary. I've just never seen anybody that does it better than he does.
No, it's remarkable. And, Coach, close out here. I saw, I watched Michigan and Rutgers this past Saturday. Happened to be down Piscataway. You know, he doesn't exactly fit that offense with Shea Patterson because he looks like he wants to kind of throw it. But I'll tell you this, he's gotten more and more comfortable with the Harbaugh brand of offense for the Wolverines as this season's gone along.
Oh, you're exactly right. I've got to watch him the last 3 weeks, and you start to see this. He's comfortable. And we all knew that he could extend the play and make things happen, but you can see him going through the progression of the read, and then he moves, he can throw with accuracy. And then the defense has been there. The defense has been physical, they're tough. And so I'm anxious. I'm waiting on the next couple of weeks for Michigan to see how they finish. I'm real curious about that.
Hey, Coach, we certainly appreciate the time this morning, all right?
Yes, sir. Yes,
enjoy your Wednesday, all right?
Okay, guys. Thank you.
Got it. Coach, that's Houston Nutt, CBS Sports College football analyst, former coach. And,
good guy, man.
Yeah, good guy.
I like him.
Great, great perspective and great sayings as well.
Stay tuned now.
He's the best, man.
He really is. We come back. We've got the three for you, the three biggest things you need to know here on this Wednesday morning. It's Taz, it's Boost, it's CBS Sports Radio.
We are your home for Eye on College Football with Rich Ackerman, Saturdays from noon to 8 p.m. Eastern, only on CBS Sports Radio. It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
That's right, Wednesday morning. Andrew's in the house. Final time this morning. What's up, Andrew?
Moose, Taz.
Good morning.
Good moment, as
good
always.
Good morning.
My final report today is brought to all of us.
Thank God.
By GEICO. Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to GEICO. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Already without the injured Steph Curry, the Warriors took Draymond Green out of their lineup last night. The trash-talking forward suspended for the game without pay for trash-talking Kevin Durant during and after Monday night's game at the Clippers. The dispute began with Durant unhappy Green didn't pass to him on the final possession of regulation. Green reportedly escalated things by ripping KD for his handling of his pending free agency. As for last night's game.
So hold on a second. So now we got some clarity. Am I missing something here from what we talked about in the first segment, Moose? Is this on this story here?
That was out there.
This is not new clarity.
No.
Okay.
No.
And continue.
Durant scored 29. Jonas Jerebko had 14 points and 13 boards in place of Green to beat the Hawks 110-103. Head coach Steve Kerr impressed.
Proud of the guys. It wasn't our best game, but it was a good effort, and we stayed solid, and the Hawks played well. They hung with us, but I liked the fact that we got the job done.
The Hawks might have played well, but Trae Young specifically did not. The rookie missed 10 of 12 shots, just 4 points for him. The Nuggets dropping their fourth straight, 109-99 at home to the Rockets. James Harden scored 22, while Carmelo Anthony set out his third straight. And the Cavaliers ran over the Hornets, 113-89, to end a five-game losing streak. Alabama, Clemson, Notre Dame, and Michigan atop the new college football playoff rankings. In fact, the top 10 unchanged from last week. The first time that's ever happened. Unbeaten UCF finally moves up from 12th to 11th. New Orleans Saints left tackle Teron Armstead reportedly out 3 to 4 weeks with a pec injury. The Rams and Chiefs will play Monday night in L.A. because of unsafe field conditions in Mexico City. And the Terrell Pryor era is over in Buffalo. It lasted just two games.
They cut him. They bring him back. They cut him. It's enough. They should have got. They got rid of the wrong tall wide receiver. By the way, that's what my Bills did. But I don't want to get into that. By the way, I have something else I want to talk about later on.
It's a good tease.
Yeah.
You got a Kelvin Benjamin hot take coming up later.
That's who I'm talking about.
Can't wait.
That's not. No. That's.
That'll light it up.
Hot cheese.
I set up my own bit the wrong way. No, I actually was going to say something about hockey, but it had nothing to do with Benjamin. But I'm just saying, when you mentioned Terrell Pryor played taps, I was like, they got rid of the wrong guy. Not that I'm a huge Terrell Pryor fan, but I mean, still, the other guy stinks. Go back to Carolina. There's your hot cheese.
Yeah. Stay tuned now.
With a CBS Sports Minute, I'm Taz. Oakland's Bob Melvin and Atlanta's Brian Snitker are your managers of the year. Number 5 Tennessee beat Georgia Tech last night 66-53, and on ice. Hold on, start that again.
And take two.
Who's in charge of these things?
Here comes Joe Thornton moving in, and he scores! Number 400 for Joe Thornton. He becomes the seventh man in the history of the NHL to play 1,500 games, have 400 goals, and have 1,000 assists. And he puts the Sharks in front 5-4.
Taz, back to you.
Perfect segue to what I wanted to just say. I'm disappointed in myself.
Okay.
Usually I'm disappointed around everybody else around here. I'm disappointed in myself this time of year because this is when, Moose, I want to sink my teeth into the NHL, and I don't. And it's because I got so much going on, and I get so mad because I want to delve into hockey, and I'm not. And I'm mad at myself.
Well, that's what I want to say.
I guess so, right?
Yeah, do it. Come on in.
Do it.
Let's go to a game.
No, in. I'm not going anywhere.
Want to go to a game?
No, no, I'm not.
Me,
no,
you.
What, Rangers
you
or the Islanders? Where are we going?
Whatever
Devils.
You want.
Let's go to Jersey.
No, we're not going to Jersey.
Come on, don't
go
be
to
ridiculous.
The Islanders. I don't live far from the Coliseum. Well, they're in Brooklyn. Well, where are they now? They're in Brooklyn or Coliseum?
No, they're
back
Brooklyn
to Coliseum.
Now.
When are they going back
you
to Coliseum?
You do have some teeth to sink
When are they going back
hockey.
To Coliseum?
Playing some games
yeah.
at Coliseum.
I think six games
well,
this year.
Well, that's the only game I might go to. I'll meet you in the parking lot and have a hot dog and a few beers and I'll leave.
It's good enough for me. I'll take it.
Actually, I'm not doing it.
Pick a date.
Hockey's a tremendous tailgating sport.
I know.
Perfect weather.
Anything with
perfect
pork,
day. It's 15 degrees outside. That's what I want to do.
Yeah.
Be hanging
and
out.
Then go inside and freeze with the ice.
In January, dead of winter, dark out, 5:15 at night, have a hot dog and a cold beer.
Yeah. Winnipeg's Wait. A great spot.
Yeah. It's put it on IG Live.
It's a fantastic
Islanders and Hurricanes
sport.
And beautiful Hempstead, New York.
Get me out there.
Hanging out on Hempstead Turnpike.
Like, right. You shot
as the wind is whipping through you.
Yeah. 2 miles from the water,
right.
Freezing.
Bogus, pass me that Coors Light.
Let me take my gloves off of my snuffle.
Right.
Hang on, Taz.
I mean,
I got egged after an Islander game in high school.
Oh, really? Oh, at the nice
at
the
get
Coliseum.
Picked up with my buddies. All of a sudden, dudes drove by and just started throwing eggs at us.
Yeah, that could happen in that area.
Yeah,
that
not the best neighborhood.
There. Yeah,
over there. That, by the way, was Dan Rusinowski on Sharks Radio. Joe Thornton's 400th career goal, the game winner against Nashville, 5-4 the final last night. Bye, guys.
All right. Thank you, Andrew.
See you tomorrow.
All right, let's get to it, the three.
It is now time for the three. We get you caught up on the three biggest headlines of the day with Taz and the Moose. Number one.
Warriors suspend Draymond Green after heated exchange with Kevin Durant.
Yeah, so one game suspension without pay. Don't really know all the details. A little bit we know that Green did not look Durant's way the other night. Game against the Clippers with Steph Curry on the bench dealing with an injury. We know that there was a number of Warrior players that approached Green after the game. There was a little bit of a verbal spat on the bench. We saw DeMarcus Cousins walking with Draymond Green after that. So we don't know exactly all the details, but the Golden State Warriors trying to nip everything in the bud and trying to put an end to it before it completely gets out of control. But the drama reigns supreme in Golden State. And here's the thing for the Warriors, Taz, as we discussed earlier. If you missed it, check out the podcast at radio.com or Apple Podcasts.
Good conversation, yeah.
Is that the only thing that can really stop Golden State from winning a title this year and winning three in a row is Golden State.
There's no argument. I mean, it's definitely – and if they continue to have this infighting, that could cause a problem. I mean, they did win. They beat the Hawks last night, 110-103. And, and they're sitting at, 12-3 right now, the Warriors. So – they're going to be tough to topple. But to your point, if you have infighting and you have two of your top guys, one your main guy and Kevin Durant, unless you feel Steph Curry maybe is the main guy, and you have a guy who's a very important agitator and player on that team and Draymond Green, if these two guys are having at it, and we talked earlier about this, Draymond's a guy who recruited Kevin Durant to come over, and to come over to Golden State. So it's interesting now. Seems like there's some trouble in paradise there. In Golden State, I'm sure this will blow over, but we were talking a lot earlier, if you missed it, ladies and gentlemen. You and I were kind of getting into a little debate about what maybe happened in the locker room. You thought maybe it could be a thing where, not to put words in your mouth, but where it could be a verbal thing that Draymond said something verbally alluding to the fact of something with Kevin Durant's free agency. We don't need you at the end of the year, whatever, something like that. And I thought that wouldn't happen. I don't think they would suspend him for a game and pull money out of his wallet and bench him for verbal. I think maybe he threw a punch or a swipe at somebody, namely Kevin Durant. I don't think he connected. But you made a good point, too. Well, if he did do that, that probably would have leaked out if a guy takes a swipe at someone. But, again, it's hard. We're just spitballing. We're not there. We're not in the locker room. It's that sacred ground. So who knows,
Well, I don't know. I just know that, we all know, Durant's a very sensitive guy. He is facing free agency in the offseason. It's going to be a huge topic of conversation. It's going to be a distraction for Golden State if they let it be. And the Warriors also showed you the importance of Durant. And they talked up Draymond Green even after the one-game suspension without pay as we played the cut from Steve Kerr earlier in the show, saying that his confidence or the importance of Draymond Green is unquestioned. And I'm paraphrasing there, but it also shows you the importance the organization feels for Durant, because they were going to back up arguably a top three player in the sport.
Yeah.
And a guy that they want to obviously have stay with that organization past this summer when he hits free agency.
Yeah, you definitely. You got to do everything in your power to keep
KD. Make sure he's happy.
Got to keep him happy. I agree. I know. And they're gonna do that. But it's interesting. I do think, like you said earlier, this is going to probably ooze out at some point today what really happened behind closed doors in that Golden State locker room with Durant and Draymond.
And it's interesting you mentioned it because I think that'll show you the true tightness of that organization. And what I mean by that is that if it doesn't, if everybody is on the same page, if everybody, and you heard Kevin Durant say, I want to keep everything in-house. If everything does indeed stay in-house and there's not a lot of clarity to it, Taz, it shows you that everybody's on the same page. We'll find out if we do. Yeah. I mean, more often than not, you do. We'll see if we do find out more to the story as it evolves.
Right. Number two.
NFL moves Rams-Chiefs game out of Mexico City over poor field conditions.
Well, this is good. Yeah, this is good. Yeah, because this, well, if you haven't seen photos of this field, ladies and gentlemen, you can go to our Twitter account, at Taz and a Moose. It was putrid, Moose. Putrid.
Oh, terrible.
Putrid. Disgusting. Horrible.
Couldn't play a football
game.
They had
concerts there, soccer games. I don't know. They had a lot of rain and water. I don't know if they have a bad drainage system. They're using natural grass. They had sod. The sod got ripped up. Used different sod. That sucked. It just looks horrible. It reminded me of my high school field. And I went to high school in East New York, Brooklyn. And we had a sewer cover on a 20-yard line. Not kidding, bro. And we used to paint the white lines over it. Like I'm not kidding. It was really bad. Now it's field turf there. But because these kids are all soft today. But that's a whole other story. When I was a kid, no. So
wait,
anyway,
Mike Gundy. Anyway, so back to the field down in Mexico. I do feel bad for the fans down there, who are going to get treated to a really special game. Taz and I have talked and we've debated about, the importance or lack thereof, based on your perspective of playing outside the United States, but the NFL fan down in Mexico City, which gets this game on playing that game, I do feel bad that the conditions of the field are so bad that they can't play it. But the NFL made the right decision; they've got no other choice. You're looking at a Showtime football game, Monday Night Football.
Potential
it's
Super
Chiefs,
Bowl here,
it's
buddy.
Rams.
Yeah.
It's a potential Super Bowl matchup. You can't have footing being an issue. Imagine you play that game, and all of a sudden you guys are suffering catastrophic injuries left and right.
That'd be horrible.
And or you can't continue the game because the field is coming up in large clumps left and right. You can't be doing it. So they made
the
right call.
Divots.
Yeah, divots.
Chunks
is golf.
I mean, you can still divots dirt.
Yeah, I think of a divot. Don't you think of golf when you think about a divot?
Even the horses, the ponies. You see them, and you see them running on grass.
Yeah, I think more.
I don't know. I think a divot is. I guess we'll look into this. I think
it's not that big of a deal.
It kind of is. I think it's a chunk of dirt with grass.
Okay.
I just really want to know. I think a divot doesn't just land in the golf realm.
Okay, well, I'm just saying when I think about divots, I think about golf. But
I think our research team is looking into this.
All right.
I don't think they are.
Okay.
Yeah.
Maybe they're on a coffee break. They might be on a coffee break.
They might be in the bathroom. The NFL made the right decision. If you missed it, the Rams are going to be putting tickets on sale. If you have season tickets to a Rams, you're going to get first served. But then there are going to be tickets that go on sale today, 10 a.m. this morning for season ticket holders. And I think tomorrow there's going to be tickets that go on sale in Los Angeles as well, which is going to be a primetime matchup come Monday night.
And they're donating a large portion of tickets to first responders there on the West Coast in California and whatnot with all the horrific scenes we've seen and the horror stories of the fires in Northern and Southern California, which our prayers with everyone there. So it's just
tragic
scene. But to a lesser degree, this football game, it's right to happen on a better surface. Do it. Monday Night Football, do it in L.A., fine. Rams, Chiefs, let's get after it. And also for the players, Moose, this is for travel, especially around, Thanksgiving time. Even though they're not flying commercially, they're flying privately still. You don't want to have to go international. I know it's Mexico. You still got to cross, it just makes it a little more of a hassle. At least you're here in the United States, and then you could just, do your Thanksgiving stuff and get ready to buy all sorts of, grits and giblets and sweet potatoes and turkey and drumsticks and whatever
you might be eating on Thanksgiving.
There's all sorts of stuff.
Yes, lots of food.
We got to do a BCS Thanksgiving.
Number three.
College football playoff rankings released mostly status quo.
Sorry, I shouldn't have brought that up. I shouldn't have gave a creative idea.
Nothing has changed in college football rankings from a week ago. No. The Alabama Crimson Tide 1, Clemson 2, Notre Dame 3, Michigan 4. You got the two teams on the outside looking in, Oklahoma and Georgia. Georgia and Oklahoma, I should say, 5 and 6. So everything stays the same in the top 10.
Yeah, man. Well, we talked earlier. I posed the question, what happens, right? What happens on December 1st when Alabama plays the Bulldogs, when they play Georgia? Georgia's right now sitting in that fifth spot. Alabama is the king of kings. They are number one. They're 10-0 right now, and they're going to be 11-0 after they destroy the Citadel. So what happens then? What do you do then if Notre Dame stays undefeated? We had this conversation earlier, Mushu and I. We had a plethora of phone calls, and we thank everybody who called. So check out the podcast if you want, guys. If you just join us live right now on SiriusXM 206 or CBS Sports Radio, one of our great affiliates, and go to radio.com, download the podcast, or on Apple Podcasts so you can hear the whole conversation we had earlier, because it's a good one, buddy. What happens? What are you going to do, right? What are you going to do? What are you going to do?
It's a fascinating debate. We'll see if it does play out. That would be the selection committee's worst nightmare.
I know.
If that did play out, if Georgia did beat Alabama in the SEC championship game. But regardless of where they are, as long as they don't lose another one and the SEC title game is set, they've got an opportunity. They can't lose two.
No.
They can't lose two. And they beat Alabama in the SEC championship game. They're not getting in.
Well, no, you're right. That's something we didn't say earlier.
They can't lose another one. But if they're a one-loss team.
They got UMass this week. They're not losing.
No.
UMass. And then they're playing Georgia Tech. They're not going to lose Georgia Tech. But the point being is
they can't lose. So if that's a scenario where it's a one-loss team, we'll see how it does play out. But it's going to be a fascinating conversation if indeed does happen. Coming back, we got the undercard for you. It's Taz, it's Moose, it's a Wednesday morning. It's CBS Sports Radio.
It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is brought to you by Geico. Great news. There's a quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com. 15 minutes, you can save 15% or more on car insurance. Time right now to answer our Ask the Pros question of the day, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Today's question is from Tony in Memphis. What did he end up being more sick of talking about? Le'Veon Bell or the Dez Bryant drama? I'd probably say Bell.
Yeah, I'm with you. Lev Bell and for sure. I just feel like it's over. Thank God.
Yeah, don't forget you can submit a question by going to cbssportsradio.com/askthepros. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices. Excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day.
You know, the Dez Bryant thing, as you know, it ended kind of sadly because the guy got hurt. You know, he tore his Achilles, right, with the Saints.
Yeah.
So that part's sad. So it's like you kind of put aside all the any drama that had happened with Dez, you know. But the Lev Bell thing, you know, him not showing up yesterday is 4 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. East, as we call it, in Pittsburgh to the Steelers. So now he's not eligible to play this year. For anybody. So where's he going next year? I got to ask you, Mushu, cover on other shows you do, because you do a plethora of shows 8 days a week. And you do a lot of local shows for the New York area here. So you cover the Jets a lot and the Giants. Does he become a Jet? Do you think that happens? They got the cap space. Do you think it's going to happen?
He's talked about not wanting to play for the Jets.
I remember that. Yeah.
So
your opinion, do you think it happens? Too early to tell, right? Maybe.
I think it because I do think there's a number of different factors. Who they bring in to be the head coach,
right?
They're gonna have the reason why the Jets are, and Taz is right. I mean, they've got $90 to $100 million that they're gonna have to spend this offseason.
Ton.
It's also a matter of what they're looking for as well, and where do they feel? I mean, Taz, they need offensive line, they need an edge rusher.
Badly, yeah.
You gotta see exactly what they do at head coach. Bowles is not going anywhere anytime soon. If you're asking me, are the Jets? Reportedly, the Jets called the Steelers about Bell when this whole saga was going on.
No, thanks, yeah.
Well, but at least they kicked the tires on Bell. So if they kick the tires on Bell in terms of acquiring him from the Steelers, I would imagine they're going to kick the tires with him being a free agent.
Yeah, man. And the thing is, and I'm glad you reminded the audience and myself about that because there's a flip side to that. There could be a situation where the Jets, you don't want someone with you that don't want to be with you. You know, it's like a relationship. So it's the same thing with players. So maybe, I'm not saying this is going to happen. Maybe the Jets are like, now then again, beggars should be choosy. And the Jets are beggars, if you haven't noticed. So,
well, if they offer him the most amount of money, I don't think he's going to give the Jets a discount. But if they offer him the most amount of money, what we know is about this, for Le'Veon Bell, cash is king.
Yeah.
Cash is king. He had an opportunity. He's got a team now this year that potentially could win a Super Bowl.
He just lost 14-something
million. 14.5 million.
That's insane.
He let that go. But Taz, all right, you want to put the money aside. He's also got an opportunity this year to win.
Yeah, on a legitimate
AFC
power.
That can get themselves. They can. I'm not saying they will. You can make an argument for the Steelers getting themselves to a Super Bowl. And he said, thanks, but no thanks. I'll see you. I'll play football next year.
And I got news for you. That Steeler squad, not just the offensive linemen, not just Big Ben, not just Tomlin, and not just James Conner, the defense too. They are motivated because of a guy like Le'Veon Bell. They'll never admit that, but that's motivational.
Yeah, good point. Don't disagree with that.
They'll never admit it.
All right, let's get to it. A little undercard.
Come on. Fire it up here. Fire it up.
Taz and the Moose present
Undercard.
The stories from today's rundown that we haven't talked about on the show.
All right, let's go, Mike.
Jimmy Butler yesterday, he met the Philadelphia media.
How'd it go?
Let Philadelphia know a little bit about you, the person.
I don't do much, to tell you the truth. I love dominoes. I do that probably more often than anything, some cards. What else? Still love country music. I still do drive a minivan, so if y'all see that rolling down the street, I'm for sure in it.
I love it.
What else? Oh, that's basically it.
That's money. I'm sorry. I love him more now. I love him. I love Jimmy Butler. I think he's great.
I met Butler at SNY last year. Yeah, he did a podcast with Taylor Rooks. Good interview. Nice guy. Very, very nice guy.
Seems like he's probably a decent guy.
Now, obviously, we know he's a little bit of a hard ass by the way that he practiced and played, not getting along well with teammates in Minnesota. But you love that message. And that's the right mindset for the city of Philadelphia. And what it shows you is he cares about basketball.
Yeah.
He likes dominoes, little country western music, and likes driving his minivan and playing basketball.
Well,
that's all he needs. And $190 million, which is what he's looking for this summer.
Probably get an upgrade, probably get a new interior on his minivan. And he might want to go to maybe Philly cheesesteaks like Tony Luke's and get rid of the dominoes, which it's a great brand, don't get me wrong. But to be honest, my opinion, it's not really a pizza.
I think he liked playing dominoes.
Oh. Okay. Next!
A game?
Wait, hold on a minute. How do we know that? How do we know that it's not the pizza?
He said, I like playing dominoes.
You can play the cutback.
All right, I didn't hear the word playing.
He said, I like playing
dominoes. I love dominoes. I do that probably more often than anything, some cards.
Okay, yeah, I see what he's the card thing. But I got to be honest, the front end of that, I do the dominoes
listen
more.
To the whole statement.
Have you seen his six pack?
Taz,
broccoli and broccoli raw.
What do you think? What do you think he's eating there? Eating Domino's pizza every night,
dude. I know guys rip like that do eat.
He's not
trash.
Doing that. I understand that he's not doing that. Domino's he said, "I like Domino's and cards."
Domino's
is not really a New York pizza. I'm like, what?
Get yourself some Philly cheesesteaks, some Geno's or Tony Luke's. Oh, that's some legit cheesesteak, brother. I thought he was talking about freaking.
We got it. Yes. Next.
Stay tuned now.
Next free. No next.
That's it. Download the podcast. Radio.com, Apple Podcast. Do that each and every day.
Big meeting coming up here, Moose.
Yeah, Adam Bloom.
The
Houston Nutt will join us.
At the meeting?
Or did join us.
Oh, I thought Houston Nutt was in the meeting. Like,
no,
really?
He's not.
Coach?
Hello?
Mike, Pete, Bogus. Good job. We out. Peace.
There's got to be a 10-second runoff here.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.